Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord, I just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for this time that we have to gather in your name. For Lord, you have said that where two or three are gathered together, there you are, Lord, in the midst of us. And Lord, we want to acknowledge that you are the head, that you are the head of the body, that you are the head of the true church, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that we can be part of that. Lord, that we can draw our life from you. Lord, that we draw our life from the Word. We draw our life from the life of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So Lord, we just want to acknowledge all this today. As we come into your Word, we pray that you would break the bread for us. Open it up to our understanding, Lord, that we might see and that we might hear. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to look at Matthew chapter 13. And we want to talk about the parable of the sower. But we talk about the parable of the sower, it really blends in with the other parables that Jesus was telling here as well. And if you're keeping notes, I would say, actually, this parable is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And there's things in Mark that are not said in Matthew. So sometime I would like to not write a new Bible, but I would like to take Mark and Matthew and just put it all together so that everything that's said in one is in the other, and then we can read the whole thing together and see the whole picture. So I'll start off in Matthew, and I'll just read a few verses here. He says, "Behold," in verse 3, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony ground, stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell on good ground and brought forth some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear."
Sila walay dami.
Amen. So, actually, Jesus said quite a lot about this parable. And you are part of the body of Christ, are you not? So, in the body of Christ, we have life and every joint supplying to another joint, have we not? So we can call this kind of a Bible study, and you can help me. So if I get it wrong, you tell me that I got it wrong and tell me where I need to make it right. So Jesus is telling the parable here about the sower. And he said that the sower went to sow the seed, and there were what? How many? Four different kinds of soil? Four. Four soil. Okay. The first one was what? Wayside. You have your word for it?
Yeah.
Okay. It's the path, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where you walk in the forest?
Or?
Yeah. Okay. And number two, what was number two? Stony. Stony. Number three, thorns. Thorny. Thorny. And number four, good. Good ground. Good ground. Okay. That's the kind I want for my garden. Unfortunately, in my garden, there are these kinds also. What this stony means, it isn't just like this. It means that under the soil is only a couple of inches, and then immediately underneath that there's a rock. So you see, the root cannot go deep. It cannot store any water. And if it rains, it's good, but if the sun shines the next day, all the water's gone. Okay, now, the disciples did not understand what this was all about. And you see, the problem here is you have to have the quickening of the spirit to understand spiritual things. Now, this is one of the reasons that we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, not just that we have the Holy Spirit, but we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Kailangan na ang pagbidawag na nato ang Espiritu sa Diyos upang nagkinahanglan kita na mapuno
not just a baptism in the Holy Spirit that happened to us one time, a long time ago, but a continuing walk in the life of the Spirit. So the disciples could not understand the meaning of this parable unless Jesus came right out and told them, look, this is the spiritual meaning of this. So in verse 11, he answered them, he said, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now, let me read that same verse in Mark 4, verse 11. Mark 4:11. I'm going to read it to you. And he said unto them, it is given unto you, it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is making a distinction between those that are in the kingdom and those that are outside. Now, the next verse in Mark here, and he's almost saying the same thing in Matthew. The next verse he says, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. So in other words, he's explaining that you can hear these words, but you don't understand. Your understanding is on a carnal level. And for many years, I had some understanding, and yet I could not comprehend the real meaning, the real depth, the real mysteries of the kingdom of God. You see, the difference is, I'll just talk about myself for a minute because I know it's safe. I can tell the things about me that I know are true. I was a born again Christian from the time I was, I don't know, 11 years old or something. Oh, And I remained a born-again Christian, and I was walking faithfully for the most part until somewhere in my early 30s. And I remember I moved to another city when I was 30 years old. And I wasn't really in a very good place spiritually. But God had still given me a gift of a certain level of understanding of the Word of God. And I went to a church one time, just looking around, trying to find a church. And the Sunday school teacher made a comment, and I raised my hand and I made a comment. Because he said something, and I said, oh, but that isn't what the Bible says. What the Bible says is thus and thus. And the man said, you're right. You see, I knew what the Bible said, but I wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit. But in this church, I think it was Wesleyan Methodist or something, immediately after church, they came to me and they said, would you be the adult Sunday school teacher? This is my first time to visit. And, you know, I think back on this later. I did not yet understand kingdom message. But I knew the Word of God. And I wasn't really walking in the best place. My heart wasn't really right with God. But the church was ready to accept what I had and say, this is the best we can get. Are you following what I'm saying? I was not even baptized in the Holy Spirit. In fact, at that time, I had only been baptized, they poured water on my head. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the ways of God in as much as, yes, he had given me a gift, but I didn't know. When I began to hear the kingdom message, it was still a mystery to me. So even then, I was still not a son of God. And Brother Campbell came and he would preach, and he preached the kingdom message. And Brother DeSeal, they preached the kingdom message. And when I heard it, my heart bore witness to it. And I could understand it for about a week. And then I lost it and I had to hear it again. And then I lost it again. And I had to press in. I had to be violent in my heart to receive and understand.
Amen, amen.
I think of myself as being dull in my brain. It was hard for me to understand the deep meaning of these things. But let me say to you, once I understand, I understand. And I know that I know that I know, and nobody is going to shake it from me. Listen, never, ever could you now tempt me to go back into a system and be under subjection to the pastor, ruler of the church. Never could I. Why? Because I understand it now. I know it. And I am sure. You see, I went to the Lord as when I began to preach the word. When I began to preach, I didn't understand everything. And one of the things I didn't understand what is the problem with this rapture doctrine. I knew there was something wrong with it. I knew that it didn't fit everything else, but I couldn't understand what it was. You heard my story before. Yeah. I went to a pastor, beloved man. And when he knew what I was after, he became very angry. And I'm thinking, why do you have to be angry? I'm only asking, I want the truth. And I find that people get very angry over any question about that doctrine. In other words, you can bully me if you want, but that isn't going to stop me asking the question. So I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, man will not tell me. How am I going to know? If you want me to be a teacher of the word, I have to have understanding of the word that I know what the word says. I said to the Lord, if you will tell me the meaning of the word elect, I will have my answer. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, look it up. I said, what do you mean? He said, the Spirit said, you have a concordance, don't you?
I said, well, yes, I do. What a good idea. Why didn't I think of that? And I got the answer. Now, what I'm talking about here is, how do we come to understanding? We need to look at the soil, the kinds of soil that are in our soul, in our heart, to ask God, why am I not comprehending the fullness of the meaning of this message? He said to his disciples, you are given a privilege that I will help you understand that many prophets and righteous men have desired to understand for many years, and it has been hidden from them. But now the time of revelation has come, because I am the one. By my Spirit, I will help you open the door of your mind that you can understand these things. These are pearls. These are treasures. These are the things that I will not give to swine. Now, I know that sounds offensive to the church people. The pastor at the hospital, when I told him what I thought the parable of the virgins meant, he said, well, isn't that being rather exclusive? I said, okay, brother, I didn't write it. It's in the Bible. If you don't like what I said, then you tell me what your meaning is. Tell me how you understand it. He didn't have an understanding. So what happens to people like this? There it is. It's as plain as the nose on your face. That's an American term. Plain as the nose on your face. It's right there. You have it. There it is. What are you going to do with it? And what they're basically saying is, well, we're going to ignore it. If possible, we'll find some other way to explain it. Okay? So there's a problem with understanding. Now, here we go. Here we go in verse 12 of Mark 4. No. Verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? Now, help me out with this. Help me with this verse. Come on, I'm gonna make you think about it. Tell me the meaning of that verse.
Well,
Well, one thing you could say about it, I suppose, is if you can understand this parable, you can understand the others. Or you could say, if you have within you that understanding that understands these spiritual mysteries, then you will understand this parable. Alright, so what's the problem? So who is he explains, you know that you've read this many times. Who are these characters? Who's the sower? Who's the sower? Come on, you've read it. Who's the sower? Jesus. Oh, God. He's God. Yes, of course. Okay. Jesus. What is the seed? It's the word. The seed is the word. Now, what is the word? What is the word? Oh, it's all this ink on the page, right? The printing press made all lots of words. Is that going to make us fruitful? Well, it starts in the natural. Okay. But where did I get the idea about the rhema word? You ever hear that term, the rhema word? Is that in the book of John? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with us. And the Word was in the beginning with God. Amen. And we beheld His glory. So the Word is not just the writing on the page. But the Word is the life of Jesus Christ. Now, when we get into the third chapter of John, Nicodemus came and he asked some questions. And Jesus said, except you are born again, you cannot what? Cannot see the kingdom of God. So in verse 12, what Jesus is doing is he's quoting from the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah is prophesying about the people, and he says, how does he say it? Seeing, you don't perceive, and hearing, you don't understand. Let's say I'm preaching to a great mixed multitude. And let's not be too hard on the disciples at this time. They've been with Jesus, but they're not born again yet. You see, they can't be born again until they have the blood. And of course, they're not baptized in the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit was not yet given. So we'll cut them a little break here. Nevertheless, the principles of understanding are still true. So you have the Word of God, the sower is God, Jesus, the seed is the Word, and the seed is to come into some kind of soil, some kind of circumstance, some kind of condition of our life. So let us go back to Matthew, because we'll go back and forth from Mark to Matthew. Matthew, of course, you know it's Matthew 13 and Mark 4. And verse 19, I believe. Let's go back to verse 19 in chapter 13 of Matthew. It says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and by the way, you know, part of the problem of people not understanding in the church is because the church is full of people that are not born again. Did you know that? There are people that got converted, but not to the Lord Jesus Christ. They got converted to the doctrine of their church. You know, even the churches that say we will take you as a member, are you born again? Let me tell you something that shocked me when I was a young man. There was a certain young woman that I knew. I don't know, I probably knew her for 10 years or more. Maybe more. She was a member of the same church that I grew up in. And I know that when I was saved, I went to the elders of the church. And I wanted to be baptized. And they asked me the questions. Are you born again? Did you accept Jesus? And I told them yes. And so they said, well, he's awfully young, but he seems to really know what he's talking about. So yeah, we'll let him be baptized. Of course, then they made me a member of the church. So you know there's a difference between a member of the church and a member of the body of Christ. Amen? Because all of the church is not part of the body of Christ. Now the body of Christ is in the church. Did you understand that? But all of the church is not in the body of Christ. Do you know how to know the difference? One quick test. What does the Bible say? Who is the head of the body? Jesus. Who is the head of the church? In the Bible. But you ask some people, who is the head of your church? And they say, Pastor John. And I read a little book that one of the Hagen people wrote. And I couldn't believe what he wrote. I still have that little book. I cannot believe what the man wrote. In this book he wrote, Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and he put a capital C. Capital C, church. But the pastor is the head of the church with a small c. And, you know, if you don't understand, you'll say, oh, yeah, this sounds good. This is good, rational. This is okay. But when I began to understand the message, I thought, what? The Bible doesn't say that. So you see, you keep people in bondage and keep them from understanding when you give them things like this. I don't want you to believe that, so I'm going to erase it. Okay, let's go back to understanding then. Verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that receives seed by the wayside. Okay, we agreed that a wayside is a path on the dirt, on the road. People walk on it. Cows, horses, donkeys. It's a hard ground. It has not been tilled. It's fallow ground. Fallow. There's nothing that grows there very good. And it's people that have a certain hardness. Yes, they hear it. Okay, they're in an evangelistic meeting. And the preacher preaches a very powerful word, you know. Tells a story about a poor woman that's going to hell, and everybody's crying, you know. So the preacher says, anyone that wants to go to heaven and not go to hell, come on up and give your life to Jesus tonight. And Okay, there's people that come because their heart is really stirred. And they really, really know that they're a terrible sinner.
But
the word goes to everybody. So here's one of them that come. And immediately he receives the word. And immediately what happens? What happens? Birds. Birds. What are the birds? Birds are what? Devil. Devil comes. You don't want that. You don't want that. Eat it up. Take it away. And you know, the devil is always working on you when you hear the word. You walk out of here and you say, "Nah, I don't know about that." You know, I had a pastor one time tell me, I said to him, "Brother, do you believe that the Bible principle of leadership is eldership?" He said, yes, I believe that's what the Bible teaches. And I said, so do you practice it? He said, no. I said, why not? He said, because people have tried it and it doesn't work. You know why it doesn't work? Because people are lazy. They want the easy way. Oh yeah, to have God's order, everybody has to be a part. Everybody has to be part. Now, I know the struggle. I know the struggle. We got people in our fellowship that they don't want to put out the effort. They just want to sit back and they just want to hear me. I don't know how to motivate people. The only thing I know is I give you the word, and I hope that the word of God will motivate you to want to do what the word says. Amen. Okay, so we have the first problem. All right, the stony ground. What's the problem here? Let's read it here. It says, "He that received the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, and yet he hath no root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, and by he is offended." So the problem is there's no depth. a nice day, he's a very good Christian. He's called a fair weather Christian. Fair weather Christian. Maybe he's a rice Christian. You ever hear of the rice Christian? Rice Christian. Rice, food. Yeah, I've heard missionaries tell about rice Christians. As long as I give you rice to eat, you're a good Christian. I think Jesus had rice Christians in his time too. Remember? They followed him around the lake. You didn't come to me because of the word. You came because of the loaves and the fishes. You were hoping to have a nice lunch. Free! So you see, if you serve lunch at your meeting, some people will come late, but they'll come in time for the lunch. See, we're talking about a kind of Christian. He's not coming for the seed of the word. Do you suppose he might be a carnal Christian? And this is the kind of person that is not going to understand the mysteries of the kingdom message. You know, I was studying what was going on in the time of the Romans in the first and second centuries, when the Roman emperors were persecuting and they made orders to kill Christians. There were Christians that when they were arrested by the Romans, and they said, you must either renounce Christ and acknowledge that the emperor is God, and if you do that, we'll let you live. There were some Christians who said, no, I will not. Throw them to the lions. Kill them. Crucify them. But there are other Christians. And you know, this persecution didn't come continually for 100 years. You know, these emperors didn't last very long. They'd only last, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And then another one would come along and he'd say, let it be, you know. And the people knew that this would come in waves. This persecution would come in waves. So some of the Christians, because they wanted to live, They would say, okay, hail to the emperor, you know. Then they would say, Lord, forgive me. I really didn't mean that, you know. Please help me, Lord. I don't want to die. You know. And you see, then after the persecution was all over, they would come back to the church and say, can you please forgive us? We really love the Lord. We want to come back and we want to be in the church again. Some of the churches would say, okay, we forgive you, you know, you were weak, we forgive you. And but some of the preachers said, no. You can come if you want, but I'll not consider you a member. So, you know, only God knows. Now, by the way, this is what their problem is. What? Persecution and what? Persecution, tribulation. There's all kinds of tribulation that drives people away from the Lord. What does Jesus say here? Persecution because of the word. And I think in, let's see what Mark says. He says, they have no root. Affliction or persecution. Affliction. Tribulation. Let's say affliction. Affliction. Yeah. So, why do people come to the Lord? People come to the Lord sometimes because they're in trouble. Trouble in their marriage. Oh Lord Jesus, I trust you. Come and heal my marriage. Lord, I'm in big financial trouble. The bank is coming. They're going to take my house away. Oh God, help me. I put my faith in you, Lord. And the bank comes and takes their house away. And her husband runs off with another woman. Because his heart is wicked. And then they say, oh Jesus, you betrayed me. I don't love you anymore. No, am I speaking truth? These are weak Christians, and the problem is they are not going to bear any fruit. By the way, why don't help me out here? What is fruit? Mangoes? No. Bananas? No, what does now? Come on, the Bible defines these words. You don't have to be a kingdom specialist. You can be an evangelist, Pentecost, anybody that can read the Bible. It says, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Come on, give it to her. Let her read it here.
I found in Philippians 1:9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in goodness and righteousness and truth.
that's three of them. Oh, there's nine altogether. Give me the rest of them. How do you like that list? How do you like that list? There were nine. Nine gifts of the Spirit, nine fruit of the Spirit and nine gifts of the Spirit. Okay. Now, one of them, there were a couple of interesting things here. One of them was patience. One was long suffering. By the way, this is an English word. You must have a word like that too in your language, don't you? Okay. Tell me the meaning of long suffering. It means suffering long. Three days. That ought to be enough, right? Okay, maybe a week. I got to tell you about me again. I'm later in my 30s now, and I'm going through a very, very hard time. Very, very. I mean, just a horrible time in my life. And I realized that the Lord wanted the fruit in my life. And I said, Lord, I don't have any problem with love, joy, peace, and meekness, and you know. Temperance, you know. Patience, okay. Yeah. Not so good, but okay. But I said, Lord, can we save this one until later on? I don't feel up to this one right now, Lord. I said, Lord, I think I'm suffering enough. Can we put that one off now for a while? And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and He said, Son, we're taking it all in equal balance. In other words, if you want these others, you have to have this one too. Because they all work together. Okay, now we come to the thorny issue. Did we do enough with stony ground? You have any? You can add into this. See, we're the body of Christ. You can help me here. Okay. Thorns. Let's read what it says. Let's start in Matthew, I suppose. See what Matthew says about it. Yeah, it says, okay, and he also that receives seed amongst thorns is he that heareth the word, And the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So what are the what are the problems here? Cares of the world. What was the next one? Deceitfulness of riches. Oh. And let's go to Mark, because Mark adds another one. In verse 19, cares of this world, verse 19, and deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Verse 19 of Mark 4. Lust of other things. Lust of other things. Okay. Cares of this world. Let's start with that. How many of you have cares of this world? Yeah. I have a wife. I have little children. I need to find a job. By the way, you know, if you have a wife and children, you need to have a job. You need to work. Bible said he that will not work should not eat. I know some people don't like that, but that's what it says. Okay. So, everybody has these cares and concerns. Oh, I should let you... I'm sorry. No, you could... Okay. I'll wait for you next time. Okay, so... what is the difference, then, between the normal cares and concerns of our life and somebody coming to the place where this becomes something that chokes out the Word of God? You know, there are some jobs where you work, you put in your time, you get paid, and you're released. The rest of the day is yours. But there are some jobs where they want to own you. Now, maybe not in your village, but there are jobs like that. And these are the kind of jobs where you want to be big in that industry. You want to be the executive. You want to climb to the top. And you have your cell phone and you have your computer. And they want you to work late every night because there's always some urgency. And then they call you at home. Oh, we have a problem, we have a problem. You know? And no time for God. And they want you free on Sunday too. One time I got a license to sell real estate. I had to take a test, take an exam. In fact, I think at least two or three times in my life I got this license. And I discovered, I thought, well, this will be easy. Just list some property and somebody will come and they want to buy it, and I'll just go someday during the week and I'll sign the papers, you know. But I found out they want you to show these houses all day Sunday. And I said, Lord, I can't do that. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be a very good real estate salesman. And the broker that you work for is soon going to tell you, hey, listen, I don't want you on my team. I want to make a lot of money and you're not helping me. And lots and lots of other businesses are like that. So you can decide, just take care of your needs, or I have lots and lots of other things. I have riches that I want. I want to get all this out of my work. I'm going to work. This fellow is not lazy, but he's got another problem. He is not going to be fruitful in the kingdom of God. Amen. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to die to your other ambitions. Amen. Okay, so the lust of other things. What kind of other things do people lust for nowadays? Help me out here. What do people in the Philippines lust for? You know what lust means. They want it bad. What?
The technology.
Oh, they want the latest whistles and springs and gadgets and the newest things. And they're kind of expensive, aren't they? But you have to have a balance, don't you?
Yeah.
You have to support your wife and children.
Yes.
You can't expect your neighbor to do that.
I experienced that, Brother Mark, because
last 1985, I was hired for US Navy before 1985. Three weeks practice. The letter comes in our house, then I said that report immediately you are what you need it for you is the one place. And it's raining. And then I did not listen to the opportunity because I believe and I trust God. And so I said to them, I will not go. Because if my God will prosper me, I will prosper.
Yeah.
It's okay if we are suffering now, because I know that God will help us.
Yeah.
And you see, we're still alive.
Yeah.
Even though we didn't go there.
Brother, I see the water buffalo out in the rice fields. It's not very high tech, is it? No. Just low tech. It gets the job done. So yeah, we can desire all these big fancy things, you know. Okay, what about the good fruit? Other fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30. This is verse 8 of Matthew 13. You know, maybe somebody can tell me the difference here. Verse 8. Yeah, did you read 13:8? Okay, now I find it interesting in the book of Mark. This is Matthew
160:30.
But in Mark, it says 30, 60, 100. Why does it go that way in Mark and the other way in Matthew? Who's going to help me out here? By the way, I'm not sure I know the answer either. I like this one here.
Yeah.
This one starts low and says you can go all the way to 100. This one seems to start off at 100 and you're going downhill. So I'm going to. Okay, so one time I was 30.
Yeah.
one time I was better. Well, I don't know if I'm 100. Maybe the Lord knows. But this is where I want to be. I want to give the Lord all of my soul, all of my heart, all of my labor that I possibly can. You know, there's some things here in these chapters. I think they kind of relate. There's other parables here. By the way, between Matthew and Mark, there are actually four parables that have to do with the sowing of seed.
Mark, we need to come. We need to go to the hotel now.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so we'll close up here.
Yes.
Amen. Well, I think I've finished anyway. The Lord bless you. Amen.